bist ein Raider, der sich unter der Erde niedergelassen hat. Doch jetzt musst du an die Oberfläche zurückkehren. Dorthin, wo die Ark-Maschinen umherstreifen. Wenn du mutig genug bist, wer weiß, was du da oben findest. Ark Raiders. Ein Multiplayer-Extraction-Abenteuer-Videospiel. Jetzt erhältlich für PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X und S sowie PC.
Hey, denk dran, dass auch dein Immunsystem Hunger hat. Und probier's mal mit den Gesundheitszielen zur Ernährung in der App AOK Navida. Hol dir Tipps, Rezepte und Challenges für dein gesünderes Ich. Jetzt die App AOK Navida downloaden und loslegen. AOK Plus. Aus Liebe zur Gesundheit.
Will they find a home? Sponsored by Geico. Steve is intrigued by the paranormal.
Otherworldly spirits really make a house a home, you know?
Janice has different taste.
I'd like my house to not be haunted.
Compromise is tough, but these two won't have to compromise when they bundle home and car insurance with Geico. It's easy, and they could save even more. In the end, Steve and Janice found a renovated Victorian that's only haunted from 9 to 5.
Okay, wife's home. Y'all gotta bounce.
Bye, Steve.
Bundling without compromise at geico.com.
Hey there. It's Josh. Welcome to the Nooner, or as we'll probably start calling it, Noonish with Josh. It's just me this week, so feel free to ask any questions you may have. The lovely Chris Spangle will be reading your comments. Hi, Chris.
Hello, dear.
Good to see you, man.
Oh, it's nice to see you, too.
We haven't really spoken this week.
I haven't seen you at all, yeah.
Our schedule's been different, and I know you had a wild weekend.
Yeah,
last weekend. So
that big nor'easter, I flew into Philly, and it was like a roller coaster where you weren't wearing straps and you might actually die. So it wasn't fun. But when we landed, finally the wings were still tilting back and forth.
Oh,
and then everybody started weeping because we lived. So
oh my gosh,
it was that bad.
Did you feel emotion? Like, were you?
I wasn't emotional. No, but I was holding onto my seatbelt pretty tight.
Man, and yeah. Didn't you take some footage that made it on to national news?
I posted it on Instagram, and the ABC Evening News picked it up and used it.
How did they pick that up? Did you hashtag it Nor'easter or something? Or
no, I think I tagged the Philadelphia airport, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wild.
So, yes, we're taking your questions. Enough about me. Nobody cares about me. They care about Josh Arnold, and he's going to answer your questions. Leave them in the comments, and you can ask him anything.
Yeah.
First, Ryan on Twitter wants to know, what is worse, running out of ketchup, ranch, toilet paper, or just running in general?
I'm going to say running in general, but it's not because I think it's a bad activity. I'm terrible at it, and it's not because I'm fat. When I was thin, I was never good at running, so I'm going to go with running.
All right. Have you ever been bungee jumping?
I have, yes. I was in high school. It was in Gulf Shores, Alabama, and it took me a little bit. I was scared, but when I did it, I loved it. I think there's video footage of that out there somewhere.
More rope. Nathan wants to know, have you ever made a joke that, while funny, you regret saying it?
Every day. Almost every morning, there's something like that, whether it's because it made Tom angry or because it... Actually, you know, the most... Usually what happens is I'll make a joke and it'll come out harsher than I meant it to. I'm either not as upset about whatever it is that I was joking about, or I look more passionate about it than I really was. So those are the ones that always bum me out, when you can accidentally hurt somebody's feelings or come across as being mean. I never like when any of my comedy, when it seems like it comes from a place of malice. So
you say when you make Tom mad, I've been here almost 5 years. I don't think I've ever seen Tom. I've seen him irritated. There was only one time where he was like above irritated, but he wasn't necessarily mad. So like when you say you made Tom mad with a joke, like, what do you mean?
I irritated him. Either he was going in a certain direction with a topic and my joke derailed that direction. That can irritate him. Or today I mentioned some things that I guess he just thought weren't, like, he just did not want us to be talking about. And so he I mean, I've now, there's a look now he can give me where I know he's irritated.
Can you imitate that look?
That. And it's very close to a look he'll give somebody when he's acting like he's irritated too. So, but there's something in the eyes. You can tell.
Yeah, it's kind of like a part disappointment, part anger, right. Part shut your mouth.
Yes, yeah.
I've gotten that. Brad wants to know literary questions, favorite novel, favorite autobiography, and the fattest book you've ever read.
Oh, that's interesting. My favorite autobiography is a book called Permanent Midnight by Jerry Stahl. He was a television writer and then a film writer and a novelist as well. He still writes great stuff. His most famous, he wrote for ALF and Moonlighting in the 80s, and then he co-wrote, or at least did some rewrites on Bad Boys 2, but his book, Permanent Midnight, it was made into a movie by Ben Stiller, but I really recommend the book. It's about his life in L.A. and his heroin addiction and his recovery, and it is intense and funny and sad, and it's awesome. Favorite novel would, boy, that's tough. I guess I can maybe go by genre. Horror is probably it, just because it's so big in scope. I mean, it's pretty great. And, I love, oh, geez. Yeah, I'm sorry. This is just a tough question. World According to Garp has got to be in there. And then maybe favorite classic would be Pride and Prejudice. I know, yeah. I love Jane Austen. I don't care who knows it.
Point of personal privilege. I read Miss Pat's book, Rabbit, over this week. I read it in like 3 hours. It's one of the best books I've ever read. Huh. It's really good, and she reads the autobiography on the audiobook. She does a great job with it, but man, what a life.
I bet.
Nothing I'm used to. Justin wants to know, what's your morning routine to prepare for the show?
I wake up and sorry, somebody was making a hand gesture just outside the studio there, essentially answering that question, but it's not true. I'll get up around 4:30. That's when my alarm goes off at 4:29, and so I'm usually out of bed by 4:33. I mean, sometimes I'll just sit there, and then take a shower, make breakfast, eat, brush my teeth, and then leave for work. No TV or music in the morning. I don't check social media until after the show, and I don't look at the news until after the show. So I come in here around in between anywhere, sometimes 5:45, usually 5:58, and come in and sit down because I don't want to know anything that we're, I don't really want to know about anything that we're going to talk about. So.
Yeah. So this is a question that Martin just asked. He wanted to know what you do to prep for a show. So you don't prep at all?
I don't. No. I don't do any prep because I find that if I were to do prep, I would probably, I have a fear that I would zone off. Like I would zone out on the air. Like if I already knew about the story, I probably wouldn't pay attention, but not knowing what we're going to be talking about kind of forces me to pay attention the whole time. And I think my jokes are better when they're completely off the cuff as opposed to planned. Like I can't think of anything worse than planning one of the stupid jokes I say and then it not getting a laugh and just being like, oh, why did I actually took time out to write that. So I prefer just to be off the cuff.
David wants to know, do you miss doing comedy on a regular basis?
I don't. Right now I'm doing stand-up the perfect amount of time, which is once a month, once every couple months. And I prefer that to doing it weekly. The only thing I do miss is working on new bits, because when you're doing comedy every week, you have all kinds of opportunity to write while you're on stage. And riff on some topics and stuff like that. And I now doing it less frequently, I don't get a chance to do that. So I do miss the thrill of coming up with a new joke on the fly or, but this show actually allows me to do that every day. So
great. This is Daniel. Daniel wants to know, not a question, but please tell your joke about the wax on your braces. The world deserves to hear it.
Oh, that's very nice
of
you.
So let me give you a Tom setup. Josh, I've noticed that you now have braces as an adult.
Yeah, man. They're a little, they're tough. They're tough. When I first got them put on, one of my brothers goes, hey, now that you have braces, make sure you don't kiss anybody else with braces or else they could get stuck together. If I'm kissing somebody else with braces, I've got bigger problems than that. I'm not hanging around the roller rink or lurking outside Justice at the mall. They give you all this wax to put on your braces when you first get them so your lips and cheeks don't snag. Those first few days, I had more wax in my mouth than the perverted night watchman at Madame Tussauds. And that's one of those jokes that four people out of 100 like or get, or I don't know.
But Tom's one of them.
Yeah, he loves it. So, and it's a joke that even though it doesn't really get much in a live show, I say it almost every time because I just like saying it.
It's very funny. Mary, do you own a motorcycle?
And nope. Oh, sorry.
And what do you think about motorcycle clubs?
I'm fine with them. I don't own a motorcycle. I've ridden on a few, and I've never just driven one. I've driven scooters, but I've never driven like an actual motorcycle. Motorcycle clubs, I would think, would be pretty cool. Like sometimes you'll see them like the first great day of spring. Like you'll often see big like groups of motorcyclists going down, and I'm always like, man, that's got to be pretty sweet. You just get with a bunch of friends, and you just check out.
You have a bar.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah.
Beat up anybody that comes in that you don't know.
I don't think every motorcycle gang is like how they are in Pee-wee's Big Adventure, Chris.
Oh, no. My bike.
Butch wants to know, do you plan on pursuing acting seriously?
You know, that was the plan. In fact, maybe a year before I got this gig, I was packed up and ready to go to L.A. And something. I was offered a day job out there, out in L.A. And so I like broke my, I didn't re-sign my lease, and I was all packed up and ready to go. And then that job fell through, and a different job came in that was still in St. Louis, and so I ended up staying there. But that was the goal for a while, and I was actually on the cusp again of moving out there when I got this job. So, and that was just to go out and do whatever I had to do. I'd sweep at a warehouse or work in some. I mean, I would rather sweep at a warehouse than work in a cubicle again because I'm just not good at it. I have the utmost respect for people who work in corporate America because like I've seen them, they love it and they're good at it. I just wasn't good at it at all. So I would rather do something.
You were ready to do anything possible to get into Hollywood is what you just said.
Nothing was off the table.
Ralph, this is actually a really common question that we see all the time on social media.
Yeah.
Ralph, are you ever going to sing a complete version of the 69 song without letting Tom stop you?
You know, I started to write one out and I've thought about it and stuff, but I think my favorite part of that joke is the fact that Tom and he and I have, without ever discussing it, have kind of figured out this symbiotic relationship of he stops me just before it gets too crass. Like it's already juvenile and stupid and suggestive, but just before it tips into that area of like unairable area.
Okay.
He stops me. And I think that's funnier than any full length song I could come up with.
Must We Go Down Vulgar Road is one of my favorite Tom things.
Yeah, yes.
Trish wants to know, what is the strangest thing you've ever done with your feet?
My feet? Wow. What an interesting question. I wonder what that's about.
I think we know.
if Trish, I mean, I guess there are, yeah, I mean, it doesn't mean that she has like a foot fetish, but you never think about the women who have foot fetishes. That has to be a thing.
Absolutely. If you can think of it, it exists.
I don't know. I mean, this is, the answer's going to bum most of you out, I think. It's got to be, I mean, it's.
Daniel says,
you know,
put them in running shoes.
Daniel, if that weren't so funny, I'd be mad at you. it, you look, you do things in the throes of passion. That's all I'll say about it.
Whoa. I'm not going to get into it. Jeff wants to know, you one time said you might possibly have a chance at getting on SNL. Can you tell us about that experience?
That's not me. I think he's mistaken somebody for me or, you know.
Okay.
Because I've never, that was not me. So I'm not sure.
Christine wants to know, how would the world be if house cats were 900% larger?
I mean, vastly different. I would think we would constantly be hiding in fear. I would, because they're going to eat us.
Right.
There's no way they wouldn't.
Absolutely. They're predators.
Yes. So I think we would be, I would be, right now this would be broadcasting from some bunker, I would think. Would be the first. I mean, our beaches would be unvisitable. They would just be covered in shit. So.
So this person referenced Indianapolis, but let's say nationally, what is your favorite place to eat?
Cracker Barrel is my all-time favorite restaurant.
Easy enough.
Mm-hmm.
No. Stop. We only have 30 minutes.
If you want to know, if you are interested in the Indianapolis area, Ale Emporium is one of my favorite places to eat.
Mm.
And it's funny, I've lived here about a year and a half and I'm still getting to, Metro Diner is another one of my favorite places to eat.
Garen wants to know, when are you going to have more songs like Mr. Grizz?
Working on three different ones now, so soon.
Okay. Jake asks, would you rather be able to see 10 minutes into your own future or 10 minutes into the future of anyone but yourself, and why?
I'm going to choose anyone but myself because I don't want to know my own future. Like I would, if I knew what was going to happen in 10 minutes, that 10 minutes would be devoted to what was going to happen in 10 minutes. So I don't think that's any way to live. I wouldn't want to do that.
Let's see here. On a scale of 1 to 10, Adrian asks, how intolerable do you find baby photos on social media?
You know, not that intolerable. Like, even if I were to get annoyed, it makes perfect sense that they're out there. I mean, if I had a baby, I'm sure I would be splashing photos everywhere just because you're so excited about it and you're so proud and happy. And I think a lot of people forget that when, like, what's super important to you and what you're super passionate about, this obviously is more about than just kids, but you tend to assume that everybody who's following you is as passionate and excited about those things. And a lot of times they're not, but you know, hey, if you don't like it, you can just mute them or something. But it doesn't bother me that much. What does bother me are when people go, man, look at this hilarious video, and you have to sit there and watch it, and it's never as funny as that person thinks you'll think it is.
What could you give a 40-minute presentation on with absolutely no preparation, Michelle asks?
Horror movies. Maybe cinema in general. I would feel pretty confident doing that. This may be weird. Anxiety disorder. I've suffered from that since I was in my teens, and it's very genetic. So my dad has it, and so actually, I would love to give presentations on that because I think it's super misunderstood. I think a lot of people think it's a fad, or a self-fulfilled ailment when really there it's, you know, the folks with the chemical imbalance, like it's a, you know, it's an, oh, I feel down today, or, oh, I feel anxious today because I have to give a speech. No, it's folks with legitimate panic disorder. It's way different. So probably any of those topics.
Okay.
Porn, I would probably be able to give a pretty lengthy apologia for.
Lengthy, huh?
and girthy.
Let's see. Doc wants to know, after getting to know the gang better, have you found anything especially odd or fascinating about any of them that surprised you?
Man. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess having known them a little bit through just being a guest for a few years,
let me put it this way. If you were a listener and you didn't know them, what do you think would be the surprising thing about each one of them?
Man. Maybe how they're it, like, it's not like the show ends and everybody, we all four of us get in one car and go to lunch and then talk about the show. Actually,
it's really hard because they're almost exactly like they are on the air.
Yeah. I mean, there are things that are exaggerated, obviously.
Sure.
In terms of, but that kind of goes towards something I was saying earlier. One of us will get mad about a topic, and deep down we're not that upset about it, right. But we're playing the foil to the
come
other
on.
Yeah. Or, yeah, so sometimes we can be hyper versions of ourselves, but I you know what it probably is? The fact that we don't really talk about the show. Like I would have, because every other job I've had, it's like, all right, well, on Fridays we'll have a meeting about how things are going and what we hope to do. We really don't do that. We talk about, every now and then we'll be like, oh, that was a fun show, or hey, that was funny when, but it was, for the most part, we just come in here and then we leave and we just keep doing it. We don't really discuss the like content or what we're going to do in here how things are going. I think it's because we can all feel if things weren't going well, we would probably talk more about it. I would think, I don't know. Interesting question. I wish I had better answers for you.
Matt wants to know, do you think OJ did it?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay. Let's see. Andy wants to know, what made you go to South Korea?
At the time I was, just starting open mics, doing stand-up, and I was working on scripts and things. But, you know, they were just for just writing on my own. They weren't for any – I wasn't getting paid for it or anything like that. And I had this corporate job that I just loathed. Again, primarily because I just wasn't good at it. So I just hated it. And I'd heard somebody talking on – I don't even really remember where I heard it, but I had heard about teaching in overseas and how Korea was the most lucrative in terms of they paid for your airfare and they paid for your rent while you were over there. And so my great uncle had also lived in Korea for a couple years, and so I had interest in it from that. And so I just decided, man, this job thing is... I can go over to Korea. I can save a bunch of money. And I'm 24 or whatever, and I can learn, or I can do this before I really settle down. Who knew I would still have 15 years? And I could write while I wasn't teaching, and just save money, come back. And then with that money I saved, really hit the open mics and really start, you know, trying to submit writing and stuff like that. So, That was the main reason why.
Michelle with a great question. A lot of good questions for Michelle. What are you really good at, but kind of embarrassed that you're good at it?
That is a really good question. I wonder if, I don't know that there is anything.
You're not a really like embarrassed by much.
True. And I'm not. I don't have like secret talents. Like I try to exploit my talents as much as I can. Maybe. Yeah, you know what? I don't know that I would be embarrassed about any of these. There are a few things that I can do that. I don't know. I mean, I've written, like, I'm okay at writing poetry, which I don't do a lot of, but every now and again I will. And it's not like, you know, typical rhyme scheme poetry. It's like, that's even a topic I probably shouldn't have brought it because it's just so hard to explain. But
see Josh at the Slam Poetry event tonight in downtown Indianapolis.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there's really nothing.
Adrian said, quote unquote, hand motion from other room. I thought that was clever.
in regards to that
yes.
question?
John wants to know, how do you like your steak?
Medium rare.
Okay. Tyler wants to know, what mythical creature do you most want to actually exist?
Either the Loch Ness Monster or Bigfoot. I'm leaning towards the Loch Ness Monster. Yeah.
Justin wants to know, if there were a biopic about you, who would play you?
Oh. I don't know. Do you guys have any ideas? I mean, you're not going to insult me. I'm just trying to think.
Man, that's tough. You don't look like many people.
Right. Like, somebody's going to have to gain weight, I think.
Right.
Because Jonah Hill doesn't really capture my essence, you know what I mean? Like, he and I are pretty, like, we're fairly different.
Right.
He's more, I think he skews younger.
Michael says Tom Selleck. Sean says Matt Damon.
These are all.
John says Danny DeVito.
Very sarcastic of you.
John Favreau. Not a bad
suggestion.
Yeah,
that might work.
Tom Cruise did a good job with the suit in Tropic Thunder. The villain from Toy Store.
Oh, Wayne Knight?
Yep.
Huh.
The guy from This Is Us. I don't know who that
is. Oh, Chris Sullivan? That might work.
Paul Giamatti.
Yeah, I would eventually like to play Paul Giamatti in his biopic.
All right. Last couple questions here. Chris wants to know, if you could write for any TV show ever, what would it be?
Man, probably... SNL would have been fun in the right times. And so hard. But that would have been part of the fun, I think. Larry Sanders Show, I think I would probably choose.
Okay. Ben wants to know, how do you prep for a date?
I don't do a lot of prep. I normally wear what I wear. What I normally wear is what I wear on a date. There's not a lot to do with my hair. There's not a lot to, I guess I'll shower and that's about it. And brush my teeth. I don't really have a lot of prep.
All right. Daniel wants to know, I've been to a ton of live comedy shows and I'll never understand how comedians deal with loud drunks. How do you deal with them? And what was the worst heckler drunk you've had to put up with?
Let's see. I deal with them now. I try to deal with them with open arms, which I still don't like it because it is just such an interruption. I mean, comedy, everybody knows, you've all heard, comedy is about timing, and it just throws the timing off of everything. So, I still get in my head, I'm like, damn it, when it happens, but I try to look at it now as an opportunity. So if somebody screams out, and usually, the vast majority of the time, these people aren't yelling out, you suck, or get off the stage. They're trying to add. They think they're adding to your act, and they think they're helping by yelling out something they think is funny or a callback or they're just trying to get your attention, and usually in a positive way. So I don't get mad anymore. Now I just try to, like, I'll say, what makes you say that? Or you know what I mean? Like, I'll try to engage them a little bit, because oftentimes you can mine material out of that. The worst heckle, a lot of people though try to, but there's a fine line with it, because if I then engage that person, it can inadvertently encourage other people in the audience to yell out too. And it does just compound their thoughts of, oh, I helped the show because everybody laughed when I yelled something, and then the comedian had to say something funny, and it was a big laugh. But what you don't understand is I still had to do the heavy lifting. Just because you yelled something out and I was able to parlay it into something funny, you didn't really help. I had to do extra work. It's almost like saying, well, you know, he was lifting 150 pounds, but then I threw 50 more pounds on and he lifted it. Yeah, I mean, I still had to do all the work.
Right, because you're crafting material, practicing it, putting every note in the right place, and
right.
Then this guy derails it, and then you've got to try and scramble to make it funny.
Exactly, yeah. It's putting out a fire.
Yeah.
So, and audiences love when you can put out a fire, but, and it feels good when you're able to, but there are also times when you're just not able to, so it's a bummer. The worst, I don't know if this was a heckle per se, but the worst thing I heard say during one of my sets was I was bombing so hard, and I had been bombing at this club all week, and I had just quit my day job to do comedy full time, and it was actually after my first appearance on this show that had gone well. And so I was on the road and I was like, oh, this is awesome. I'm doing comedy now full time. And I just had a good appearance on Bob and Tom. And now, and then I was at this club just bombing hard all week. And then one of the Saturday shows, I'm just eating it. The audience hates me for whatever reason. And I tell this joke. It's in the middle of my set. I tell this joke and it gets nothing, of course. And I'm standing there. And I just hear like 5 seconds of silence. And then somebody in the middle of a sold out comedy club just goes, wow. And nobody even laughed at that. So, which tells me that the audience was feeling the exact same thing. And that's like the worst thing. Cause I was just like, man, everyone in here thinks I suck at this and maybe they're right. And I just altered my life. To do this full time.
Aww.
So that was a rough moment.
How did you come back from that? Because you halfway through and you had 20 more minutes to be funny.
Well, in this case, I was doing 20 minutes. So it was like, but still, I had 10 minutes. I didn't. I just stayed in the pocket and just did. They must have thought I was insane because I just kept doing my act as though everything were going swimmingly. And now, when it happens, I'll address it. Like if I'm bombing, I'll be like, you know what, folks, you didn't care for me this evening. And, I'll be honest. I kind of, I feel the same way about you, but you know, it's not your fault, that you didn't think I was funny. Some of the jokes are your fault. They're funny that everybody should, but some of this is on me. And I just try to spin it like that. Like kind of have this false.
Yeah.
Even inside, I'm like, damn it. Cause I feel bad when I'm bombing. I want everybody to be having a good time. I don't want them to be sitting there miserable. They have a babysitter. They paid for parking. They came in. I need to deliver. And
right.
Look, if there is sometimes not, I mean, as we all know, you're not everybody's going to think you're funny. And sometimes you get more people in a room than not that don't think you are.
It's so weird how you get, how that happens, where just the right mixture of chemistry.
Yes,
you're a very funny person. Everybody knows that, and then sometimes it just doesn't happen in
sure.
an audience. What do you do? You have any kind of thoughts on how that turns
if there's
out?
No external component, meaning if it's not too hot or not too cold, or there's something really distracting going on, if there's because that can change a comedy room in a second. But or if there's a mic glitch, you know, everybody's just anticipating that glitch; they're not really paying attention to your. But if everything's perfect and you're just not getting laughs, occasionally it'll be, it's because I'll look out and everybody's just huge smiles on their faces. So I'm like, okay, they are having fun. They're just not laughing. And it's either because they're all, so let's say this table really wants to laugh, but these three tables don't. This table's not going to laugh because they're going to feel silly. And so sometimes unconsciously an audience will just decide, hey, we're not going to laugh that much, but they buy the most merch and they have the most compliments after the show. It's weird.
Right.
But I just try to remember, hey, I'm not for everybody. I mean, and that goes the same with the show. There are people who listen to the show or maybe don't even listen anymore because of me, meaning they listen to the show in spite of me, or they don't listen anymore because I'm on it. Like they just don't like me. And that's just going to happen. And I can't help it.
It's just the law of averages. You can be the most likable person in the world, like you are, and when you're exposed to millions of people, they just go, eh, not a fan.
Yeah, yeah. Who knows?
It's like 5% of people.
Right. Yeah. And that's, you know, that's what are you going to do? But the best thing with stand-up is usually you have a show pretty soon after your last one. So after I bomb hard, I need to get up and do another one because a lot of times that one will go well, and then you can go, okay, all right. I don't feel, but when it's the last show of the week and then you've got like 3 or 4 days to just stew with that. You're just like, oh man. Yeah, it's pretty wild.
All right. Well, that's enough.
Okay, man. Thank you so much, everybody, for watching. We're going to have guests, of course, on Nooners, and then every now and again, it'll just be me. So really appreciate you listening. I hope it's interesting for you and kind of fun, and keep listening to Bob and Tom. Anything going on with the store or the
Yeah, lots of good stuff at bobandtomstore.com, but the audio of these Nooners are on our free podcast feed. So if you haven't heard all of them, you can go back and listen to the audio of each one of the ones that we're doing. Just go to your iTunes or Google Play or Stitcher and search for Bob and Tom, and then you can get the podcast and hear these if you can't watch them.
Great. Cool. Well, thanks so much, Bailey. Thanks, Chris, and we'll see you guys next week.
Michael Rosenbaum and Tom Welling take you behind the scenes of one of the greatest shows of all time.
Their ultimate rewatch podcast. We're in the midst of season 7. And
Hold on. Obviously, we had a very successful television show for 10 years. That was Superman-based.
But we had to make everyone believe that you were Clark.
I gotta be honest, I was surprised at the end of this episode that I wasn't.
I was too!
Talkville, the Smallville rewatch podcast.
I'm not sure I knew when I was filming it that I was not me.
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.